a tentative list, but we're going to send a few 30 seconds our usual traditional, list. So if everybody could put their name and also where they've been for the last couple of years, that always helps me to understand where people are coming from. And if there's somebody who's going to be here regularly but who's not here, and you know that they're going to be here regularly, also just put the name on the list so we can get a fuller, more accurate list to begin with. Okay, so the Yeshiva's learning Masachet Sanhedrin. We're learning Masachet Sanhedrin as well. It's really a very challenging and really interesting limud. So the plan is to begin with Daf Beis, with a little introduction, but Daf Beis, and to go through the first parak till about Daf Yud Aleph, and then to move to Zeborer. That's the present plan, the third parak of Sanhedrin. Last year we, including Junzman, made it in Ksuvas to Yud Aleph. We did Ger Katan. So Sanhedrin does move a little more quickly, certainly than Ksuvas. There are much less Rishonim Alatar. So the pace should be a little quicker. And either way, we'll just try to keep the pace a little quicker in terms of the getting through the topics. But again, the issues are issues that are really very fundamental to the whole system of halacha, and it's a wonderful limud. In terms of Rishonim, I think we spoke about this last year, right around the Sfarim sales time. I don't remember whether anybody came up with anything. Was there anything new? Who was it, right? What's that?
Ramban was a few pieces.
Ramban, but it's really kind of a financial trap.
To buy Shishidus Kamai more than other Masechtos?
I think it should come out. Again, I have one myself, but I think that's a good idea. And again, in terms of... Oh, Noach is here. Wow. Okay. I'm just looking back at the clock, which is... Okay. In terms of the critical Rishonim, obviously the Rosh and the Mukhi Yosef, and Balamar and Rambans, whenever that comes up. And of course, the Chidush HaRan, which isn't the Ran, but which is a very, very important... quotes a lot of Rabbi David Bonfil and quotes a lot of the Ramban. That's a very critical Rishon on Sanhedrin. And of course the Yad Ramah. We have the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin above Basra, as important as it is above Basra, and it is even more important in Sanhedrin. And Meiri of course plays a bit of an outsized role because we don't have some of the Rishonim, so he picks out and registers certain things that others don't. There's also the series, Sanhedrin, Gedola, or Sanhedrin Katana, what do they call it? Gedola. For the one of Makos they called Katana or something? I don't know. Whatever it is, Sanhedrin Gedola. So, thank you. So, that is something which, you don't necessarily have to buy, but you should have, some access to. It has the Tulsa Rush, I think, is printed in the back of these new Gemaras, and there are other access, to that, but... Real Madri, I think they have the Meiri printed in that set, but they have some of the, they have Rav David Bonfield direct, and they have Real Madri, a few other, things that Riaz, which here and there are important. So again, I don't know if you have to purchase it, but definitely
it's out of print.
What's that?
It's out of print.
It is out of print?
Yeah. They printed a new edition of the first two lines.
Oh.
Some of them are
on the blog, as they say, right? Okay, so all right. Anyways, but it should be okay. You can either get it on the blogs, as they call them. It's not on the Bar Ilan, but it's where we need it. We'll. Oh, it is all the Shittos Kamai. I'm going to look through it. So Shittos Kamai, then, as you correctly say, then probably emerges as being more important on Sanhedrin, just because you have a bit of a dearth of Rishon for such a central, topic. Obviously, and centrally, and very, very, vital, important, issues. It's very remarkable how it just wasn't developed in the Rishon. We don't have the Ramban. Again, we have a few pieces of the Ramban, and where we have them, of course, they're always very important. But there's no Rajba, there's no Ritva. For some reason, both Chachmei Sfarad and also Chachmei Provence are a little bit lacking. The Arzarua, by the way, happens to be quite important in Sanhedrin. Mordechai, the Arzarua, Hagoy Sashri, that's all one, basically, theme. So, but basically, it allows us to move more quickly. That's the good part. And of course, the Rambam plays always a central role, but even more so in Hilchos Sanhedrin. And Chosha Mishpat is something which you should have access to as well, as you know, in any moment, but particularly Hilchos Dayanim and Hilchos Eidus, Miksos and Nesivos is the Shachs. All these will be important, and we'll be looking at them. In terms of Achronim, the famous Achronim that everybody always used on Sanhedrin is Margolios Hayam, which is still a very, very good sefer. I also think there's a lot of interesting material in the Tziv and Merome Sada, and those are the ones that I'm familiar with. There may be other things that I'm not familiar with. So that's pretty much the plan, and hopefully we'll be able to implement it. The schedule for anybody who's new, you can speak to the people who are veterans, but basically the schedule pretty much is going to be the same. As we're going to try to have three full Gemara Shiurim a week, usually Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Monday we'll do something in Hashkafa. I think we were doing Avos, so I'm actually going to overlap just a little bit, just in a part of our Hakdama. We can continue with Avos, or we can consider some other possibilities, or occasional other topics, but I'll leave it in your hands. We're going to try to have again the Chazar Shir once a week, and I want to thank Itamar and Robbie in advance, who are veterans, and did a great job as usual last year, and we thank them in advance. And then Robbie informs me that the REITs office is even more generous in their budget this year, so we can have some sheer events, right? And we'll make sure to do them each semester this time. But I think we demonstrated that we were serious last year, right? Okay, so we'll continue with all of that, and we'd also like to I'm sending around the list, but it's certainly anybody who's new. We want to get in our initial short meetings just to get acquainted, and everybody who's new should keep reminding me of their names. It takes me a little while, but after a while, hopefully, it sinks in. And I'd like to really get to know each and every one of you. And we'll try to do the meetings more quickly this time also. Right, just get them in earlier. And then anybody else who wants a meeting, of course, we can do that as well. Okay, so now let's just begin. Usually, I think the yeshivas begins on Tuesday, so we usually have our first shiur Thursday. So this time they started Monday, so we're actually able to get in an extra shiur before the first week. Let me start them with a little bit of divrei, hashkafa, and a little bit overlapping some of the things we discussed in Avos last year, but not all of it. And then let's start with the first topic, which is the topic of minhag dayanim. If you haven't gone through all the Mar Mekomos, obviously, we're not going to get to so much of the details today, but we will begin the topic, and hopefully we'll make very good headway on Thursday. If we don't finish Thursday, Sunday, and then hopefully Thursday I'll give you already the next group of Makoros. So the role of or the status of Beis Din is something which clearly is pivotal, even a linchpin concept in Yadus. In halacha, beyond the general question of din, the term din is very prominent in Chazal. But din obviously has two meanings. The fact that it has respect and ambiguous meaning is itself, in my opinion, intentional and significant. But sometimes din just means the law, meaning. MS, when it comes to the halacha. Other times, din refers very specifically to Chosha Mishpat. So when Chazal speak of din, it's hard to know which of these we're talking about. We're talking about the exact, a punctilious observance of the halacha in a broader way, or are we talking about din, the miktsoa of din, meaning the field of din, as opposed to, ishus, or taros, or zroim, or kachim, etc. Again, I don't think that that's completely coincidental, but we say Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world ben midas, adin, for example, before he was meshatef midas rachamim, Elokim, Hashem, right? And then we continue to revisit din, you know, in other contexts. That sense of din obviously doesn't mean choshev mishpat. It means the scrupulous, you know, impeccably, you know, detailed, you know, implementation of, you know, objective truth, as opposed to, let's say, shalom, which is peace, which implies some sort of compromise or pshara. But even the notion of din in the choshev mishpat sense, which is what I'm interested in right now, is something which we very much associate with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, we speak about, you know, leis din, the leis dayan, the idea of the Ribbono Shel Olam as a dayan, and we speak in Chazal a lot about, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu and beis dino, which is also an interesting concept. Nasa, you know, Adam, you know, b'tzalmenu, kidmusenu, you know, has the, you know, according to the different formulations of it in Medrash, but, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, with the royal we, but consulting, but in some formulations here and elsewhere, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam u beis dino. So the idea of the Ribbono Shel Olam as an av bezdin, but having a bezdin that he consults with, or, you know, looks for consensus from, those are two different things also, one referring kind of to the maso matan, the other even to the psakdin, you know, where a consensus is supposed to emerge. This idea of Kadosh Baruch Hu u beis dino is a phrase that gives chashivus to the concept of a bezd. It implies a certain idealistic posture in connection with it, both you know, in terms of again the process and the result. We speak about, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam in some cases, the Bayered, you know, coming down and doing a drisha of the Chakira, you know, to find out what happened. So obviously we mean this in a very symbolic way. I don't want to get into the, you know, theological, you know, issues at the moment. But, you know, Dibur Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam. But even when we say Dibur Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam and we don't mean certain things literally, we should all have enough faith in and reverence for, even awe, you know, for, you know, Chazal and their perspectives, you know, to always be appreciative of the language that they care, that they, you know, that they choose to use. There are other ways, you know, Dibur Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam, to say that the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, investigated, and to say that he, you know, was choker v'doresh, which is kind of the language that sometimes Chazal use. By doing so, you know, it definitely characterizes the particular investigation, but as I said a moment ago, it also ascribes or assigns certain stature to the model of Dayanim and Bezdin and the processes of you know, that are involved in that. Again, whether it's the Drisha V'Chakira, the Maso Matan, or the final or the final Psak. So there are numerous examples of this in Chazal, and you know, they definitely point to a certain pattern. As we know, and we'll discuss much more extensively, a Dayan Samuch, who really is at the you know, at the center of the Bezdin ideal, somebody who has received his authority, you know, from Moshe Rabbeinu. In an unbroken change from the Bezdin of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Bezdin of Yeshua, we'll talk about that formulation too, and on in an unbroken chain until the end of classical Smicha, and who is necessary, you know, for certain areas of Halacha, right? Certainly for Bezdin, you know, the Dine Nefashos and Knossos, etc. We'll discuss what doesn't require Dayanim Smuchim or Bezdin Samuch, you know, as we go on in the parak. But the way that we signify this stature is, again, the way that it's signified in the Torah is through the word Elohim, right? V'nikrav Balabayas Elho Elohim, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that, you know, Elohim, you know, appears three different times, and that's how, you know, three Dayanim are required, and so on. So once again, the point is that while Chazal tell us that usage right, isn't Kodesh but Kol, meaning it isn't a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a reference to Dayanim, Nikar Balabais Elho Elohim, but the use of the phrase that is shared as Elokim, which refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is certainly, again, no coincidence. So Dayan Samuch, the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Dayan, you know, as being the Abtipus, the model for the Bezdin, you know, and Dayan process, is once again something that that emerges from that perspective. Vayigba Hashem Tzvakos Bamishpat, which means also that the Ribbono Shel Olam elevates, but is elevated by the process of Mishpat, is something which is consistent with that. The Ramban in his Perush Al HaTorah in Parshas Shoftim, in the Parsha of Hazama, which we just read, explains that the idea, very remarkable Ramban, that Kasha Zama below Kasha Asa is based on a special Hashgacha that the Ribbono Shel Olam kind of guarantees, you know, when it comes to din. That we don't punish Adam Zomim, even though certainly we still consider their sheker to be abominable, you know, but in the end of the day, what you know is mostly Gzeres HaKasuv, Kasha Zomim below Kasha Rasa, Ramban tries to explain or tries to attribute to the special Hashgacha in din, you know, when it comes to these matters. And therefore, he's not punished because, in a way, even though it's inexcusable, that he is some sort of a means, you know, to true justice. But again, this idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a special relationship with the Bezdin process is something that seems to fit a pattern. The Netziv in his Perush Al HaTorah, HaMikdavar, explains that smicha biyadayim is a form of siyata d'shmaya that is given, you know, in addition to the siyata d'shmaya that is given to everyone, to a dayan samuch. Again, implying the same idea. So these connections are mostly undeniable, and the question is, what do they reflect about? About din, in this more strict meaning, the mikzoa of Chosha Mishpat, and particularly din and bezdin, especially. So the when we did Avos, I mentioned this problem, not so much here, but I think when I was here for Shabbos, and that is that there are two lists in the beginning of Masechet Avos. Right, there are two lists of things. Shimon Atzadik Hayim Mishyari Knesset Hagdola. And Huay Omer Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid, Ala Torah, Ala Voda, Al Gmilus Chasadim. That's one list. And then there's another list in the end of the parak, Mishnah Yudches, in this version, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, different person, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam, I'll read it as it's written here, Omeid, Al Adin, Al Ha'emes, Bi Al Ha'shalom. Shenemar Emes, Umishpat, Shalom, Shiftu, B'Shar Reichem. So the question is, what is the relationship between these three things? And of course, it becomes particularly pronounced if you assume that the girsa is common to both, that both of them are shlosha dvarim ha'olam omeid. One is Torah avodah gmilus chasadim, the other one is din emes and shalom. There was another girsa, al shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam. Some people had that girsa in both places, Torah avodah and gmilus chasadim, din emes and Shalom. That's a very popular girsa. Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that gufa is the difference between the Mishnayos. He had the girsa of Omeid in Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, and he had the girsa of Kayam in Mishnah Yudches. Okay? So the question is then, what is the difference between Omeid and Kayam? So Rabbeinu Yonah here explains, wrote to Lomar about Omeid, Shebishvil Dvarim Elu Nivra Ha'olam. Now, when it comes to the word Omeid, right, that refers to the purpose or the telos of the universe. Why was the world created? What is the purpose of creation? That's a pretty big question, by the way, right? So we might get back to that one at some point. What is the purpose of life, basically, or creation? So the answer to that is Shebishvil Dvarim Elu Nivra HaOlam. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world for the sake of, or for the purpose of, for the objective of Torah, Avoda, and Gemilus Chasadim. Ki Lamata Hu Omer Al Shosha Dvarim HaOlam Kaya. Because the Mishnah on the end of the parak, there's his girsa. It doesn't say kayim in both or omed in both, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, but omed in the first and kayim in the last one. The einam elu shezocher kan al kein tzrichen manu lefarish ki omed sheamur razal shenivra haolam b'shvilam v'pnei sheim ratzon hakadosh baruch hu ratzolamar shenivra haolam b'shvil briosav sheasidim lios ratzon lefanav aidei asila asias ela hadvarim. Meaning the goal was these three things, right, which mankind would ultimately be able, right, to involve himself with, and which would justify the creation of the world. Ve'ela shloshahem amud gadol, that's the language of Omed, right, shebishvilam yagil l'chol advarim sh'amr chazal sh'olem Omed bishvilam. And then he goes on to explain Torah avoda, gemilas chasadim, etc. And what is what then is kayam? So basically, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, kayam refers not to the purpose of the world, but to the secret of its existence, or the recipe, the ingredient that allows it, you know, to be preserved and to be kayam, to exist. It's a condition, in other words, for its continuity. The world was created, right, with the following objective in mind. However, the ability of the world to survive is contingent upon din and emes and shalom. So this idea is picked up by the Tur in the beginning of Chosha Mishpat, but he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and he expands on Rabbeinu Yonah. This is the first thing that the Tur tells us in Chosha Mishpat. Rav Shimon, he starts with Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer al Gimel Dvarim HaOlam Kayam, right? Al Hadin, Al HaEmes, V'Al HaShalom. Pirush Rav Ben Yonah, Ein Pein Rusho Shebishvil Gimel Dvarim Elu Nivra HaOlam, Shrei B'Tchilas HaPerek Omer al Gimel Dvarim HaElu Omed, V'Einam Elu Shezocher Kan. Elu B'Tchil Omer Shebishvil Gimel Dvarim Nivra HaOlam, V'Ela Ein Torah Avodik Milis Chasadim, Dechsiv Hashem Kan, the Torah, Dechsiv Hashem Kan, Ani Reishas Darko, Omra Torah Ani Nivresi, Lifnei Kola Nivraim, Bavuri Nivru Kola Nivraim, Vechem Bishvilo Avoda, Shabachar Kardesh Baruch Yisrael, Mikola Umos, Shabachar Bebes HaMikdash, Mikola Mekomos. There's always a question how to interpret what is Avoda. That's how he's interpreting it. Shiavidu Bo Ubishvilo Nivra Olam, Vechem Gvilz Chasadim, Imilas Chesed, right? She Goremes Lios Lerotza Lifnei Hashem Yisbar. The Kanomar, meaning referring to the second Mishnah, Ha'olam Kayam Pirish Achar Shenivra Miskayim Ayidei Elu Ayidei Hadayanim Shadonim Ben Ayish L'Chavero Ha'olam Kayam Kil Malay Hadin Kol Da'alim Gavar. We learned about Metzia a couple of years ago. I quoted this tour because he adds this line Kol Da'alim Gavar. Actually, he's using it in the opposite way that we use it in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia is a solution to a problem in certain cases, and basically here what we're saying is we don't want a world of kol da'alim gavar, where might, you know, seemingly makes right. So you know, we prefer to have din, right, which allows for the, you know, smooth function of the world, which, you know, militates against anarchy. That's the purpose of din. V'chein ha'emes k'mosh amru sheker ein lo raglayim. Avol emesu yisod u'mamad gadol l'chol advarim v'chein ha'shalom hevim espalu v'shalom v'shal malchus u'molei mora malchus ish esrei u'chayim b'la'o ad kan. That's the quotation of Rabbeinu Yonah. Then he goes on to explain v'zeu kavanas rabosenu b'amaram. This is fascinating. Kol adon din emes lamito kil nasa shutaf l'kodesh baruch hu b'maisa breishis. Okay. So again, I mentioned some of the indications that Chazal associated the Rabbeinu Shalom with being a dayan and having a bezdin, and undergoing processes that we associate with the Beis Din. But of course, there are other chazals as well, including this famous one, that kol adon din emes lamito kilo nasa shutef l'kadosh baruch hu b'maisa b'reishis. So the Torah suggests that what this means is ki hakadosh baruch hu bara ha'olam lios kayam, right? V'harishayim shegozlim v'chomsim machrivin osa b'maseyem v'kamosh matzina b'dor ha'mabel shelo nechtam gzardinam ela la'gezel v'siv ki malah ha'aretz chamas k'siv basrei. In the sense that the Rebbe Shalom wants the world not only to, you know, to come into being, but to, you know, continue and to flourish, right, and be a conducive environment for the Gimel Dvarim of Ha'olam being Omeid, and therefore anybody who supports the Kayams, right, is in a way a Shutaf in Maisa Bracious because he's promoting the Omeids. But for the Tur and Rabbeinu Yonah, right, even these idealistic statements like being a Shutaf in Maisa Bracious, right, or we'll see other statements, you know, that a person who's involved, or a dayan who's done emeslamito, or a gimel dayanim who sit together, a gimel proper dayanim or proper gimel dayanim who sit together, shechina, shora, imahem. These statements sound to me like they're, you know, saying something more even idealistic or transcendent, more intrinsic. But Rabbeinu Yonah, at least on the tour here, are interpreting that this is the kayam function, right, which supports the Omei. The Amar Vavinu, right, Lo Yida'o Hashem Ukra'o Ohavi Ela Al Asher Halach V'Derech HaMishpat, right, V'Hidrich Bo Banav K'Nesiv Ki Yedativ L'man Asher Yitzaves Banav Es Beisau Acharav V'Shamru Es Derech Hashem Lasos Tzedako Mishpat U'Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Ribon Kol HaNeviim Lokach Atzas Yisro. This is also quite fascinating. Be'inyan HaMishpat L'Hamid Shoftim Lahazis Yisroel Tzavosam Al Das HaMishpat, right? Yisro's good advice, which we'll talk more about, is connected to this idea, right? Vashem Iskim Al Yado V'Yoshua Achrei Korso Bris Im Yisroel Labod Es Hashem Siyim Es Tvarev B'Mishpat V'Siva Yichros Yoshua Bris La'am V'Yom Ahu V'Yosom L'Choku Mishpat V'Shchem Ki HaMishpat V'Yisod V'Ikar Gadol B'Avod Es Hashem Yachrav kol shofet v'shofet shafat v'sdoro v'yeshiva medarka haro l'avodas Hashem l'leches bederach Hashem darach ba avram avinu l'asot tzedako mishpat u'bavur zeh nitzolu midei aveihem ad kam shmuel anavi neman neman Hashem v'yishpot yisrael kol yimei chayav v'halach midei shana b'shana v'sabav beisel v'hamitzvah v'hagolgal v'galgal v'shafat yisrael es kol ha'mekamos ha'eleh Ramu Chachamim Shabderach Shahalach, right? Shanazu Lahalach Shanazu Leman Heshiv Lev Kol Amla Bodes Hashem Lalechas Bederach Shahalach Avram Avinu, right? Vayimshach as David Lemelech Yisrael Vayelech Kamhu Bederach Hashem Mikol Asher Hayu Lefanav Vayaz David Mishpat Utzdaka, and so on. I don't have to read the whole thing, but basically the tour goes on and on, and then he talks about the negative. Anybody who undermines Din and Mishpat is somebody who's Machriv Es Ha'olam V'lachar V'yushalayim V'lagoli Yisrael El El Shem Bitlu HaMishpat, right, Malesi Mishpat Tzedek Yalim Ba Atamer Ratzchim Rad Yasom Lo Yishpotu Riv Amana Lo Yavo Alehem, and so on. Tzion B'Mishpat Tipadeh V'Shaveh B'Tzdaka, right, Dirshu Mishpat Ashru Chamotz Shiftu Yasom Rivu Amana, and so on and so forth. Fourth is very obviously some of the things that we're reading now in Nevi'im, in the Haftaros. Miuchat Eichem Kashanim Kashale Galbinu V'Humekare V'Geula, right? Shimru Mishpat Asu Tzedaka Ki Krova Yeshua Si Lavo V'Tzid Kasi Lehigalos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chofetz B'Yosem Mikol Karbanos Diksiv Asay Tzedaka U'Mishpat Nivcha LaHashem Mizevach Mechatas V'Ola Lo Nemar Ela Mizevach U'Bekam Mekomus Hizra Aleinu Aydei Moshe Rabbeinu Lo takir panim b'mishpat, lo tagur mipnei ish, kamishpat alokim hu, od hisraleinu ba'aseh, b'tzedek, tzedek tishpot amitzecha, u'shvatem tzedek, b'tzivu limnos shoftim b'chol ha'mekomos, t'chsiv ar parsha, shoftim v'shotrim titan l'chol b'chol sharecha, shoftim hem adayonim, ha'kfuim lishpot, shotrim hem balei makal ha'ritzua, ha'omdu l'fnei adayonim, lirdos al pi adayonim. So it's interesting that he concludes this whole introductory hashkafic slash halachic presentation, you know, which is all about the relationship between Kayam and Omed, and which underscores the importance and centrality of Din, with the obligation of Minui Dayanim, Shoftim Shoftim, Titen Lecha B'chol Sharecha, Dayanim Kfuim. And then, of course, he goes on to discuss the Isser of Arkos, and other such things. This is all the Hakdama, the first words, in other words, of the tour in Choshen Mishpat, Simid Aleph. But while the tour is certainly generous in his citation of numerous chazals to support, to reinforce the idea that, you know, Mishpat and Din, right, in the, you know, Din Torah sense, is a linchpin of the world's survival, Kayam, right? He does all of this in a way which also maintains the distinction between Omid and Kayam, right? So there still is a, let's say, he's still injected, or Ben Yonah basically, which Tour is quoting, a very pragmatic element into this discussion of Choshen Mishpat. On the other hand, were we to accept some of the other girsos, either Kayam in both, or especially Omed in both, in other words, if Mishnah Beis and Mishnah Yerches were both Omeds, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, Din, Emes, and Shalom, then the impression that we might walk away from is that there isn't this contrast. So either that means that everything is more pragmatic and it's about the survival, you know, of the world, including Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, or more likely, especially if you have the Girsa in both of them, of Omed, is that the purpose, the objective of the world, right, is both Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, and Din, and Emes, and Shalom. Catapulting Din, Emes, and Shalom, right, not only to mechanisms or means, you know, to an end, but to a more idealistic stature in their own life. And then, of course, comes the question, which I don't want to go deal with now, but which I had an opportunity to deal with previously, and that is, okay, either way, you know, what is the correspondence, what is the order, and what is the relationship between Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, and Din, Emes, and Shalom, and that's not for now. But certainly, if we take this other view, what we seem to be saying is that even Din, and even Choshen Mishpat Din, is something which you know, it doesn't just maintain order efficiently, you know, again, militating against anarchy. You know, it's not only a subsistence kind of halacha, but it projects an ideal, a lechatchila. And if so, that puts a whole new spin on some of these chazals, being a shutuf b'maisa bracious, you know, partaking, you know, of the shechina. Possibly it puts a whole different spin on shoftim v'shotrim titen l'cha b'chol sharecha, on the mitzvah of minui dayanim. And what's fascinating, this goes back to something we did discuss in the Avos Shiurim, is that Rabbeinu Yonah himself, the very author of this insightful perspective of the difference between Omed and Kayam, and therefore somebody who has a keen understanding or appreciation of the pragmatic component in Choshen Mishpat, that very same Rabbeinu Yonah is also the author of an astonishing statement about the idealism of Din in the sense of Choshen Mishpat. And actually, that statement comes earlier. Moshe kibbol Torah miSinai, as we know, and then Besara le everybody to the Anshei Knesset Gadol and Heimam Rugimel Dvarim Hevel Mesunim Medina Aminu Tamid Amar Bevasus Yagla Torah. So the Hamidu, Taminim Harbe, Nasa Siagla Torah are topics that we did, and we also mentioned Hevu Mesunim Badin. Hevu Mesunim Badin is understood by most of the Mefarshim, right, to be deliberate, to be patient. There's a lot at stake when you render a Piskei Halacha, and it has all sorts of aspects which we discussed. But Rabbeinu Yonah's Chiddush is that Hevu Mesunim Badin also means that when it comes specifically to Choshen Mishpat, one should pay very close attention, right, to the substance, because that becomes an avenue of Yediyas Hashem. Okay, and I'm just going to read what he says, because he says it very well. So he says here, second, commenting on Hevu Mesunim Badin. V'atam amash amru Hevu Mesunim Badin. Kidei lahazir yoser al hadinin mishar horos shehem ikar gadol bidias yisbarach kemosh amr yirmiya hanavi haskel viadoa osi ki ani Hashem osa chesed u'mishpat utztaka ba'aretz ki ba'el hachafatzti ne'um Hashem. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, eich yaskil adam ladas es Hashem hu davar hanimna. It's impossible. Theologically, it's impossible. The Ribbono Shel Olam is way beyond us, right? How could there even be a Diyas Hashem? Ach bezos yadanu masos dinu mishpar ki Hashem asos eila bezos shenemar don din ani ve'evyon oz tov halohi hadas osi nu'um Hashem uksiv b'makom acher micha ma Hashem daresh mimcha Kiyamasos mishpat ve'avas chesed, ki adinin heim shorish gadol la'Torah, u'mehem nishteis, in the sense of a tashtit, or the foundation, ha'olam, kamosh amr b'medrash, k'siv l'fnei aseres adibros, v'shaftu esa'am b'chaleis, u'k'siv la'achar aseres adibros, ve'ela mishpatim, v'ashol l'matrenusa, sh'ahisa holachas b'derech, ve'avadeha holchim l'faneha, le'achreha b'chli zayin. So this Rabbeinu Yonah is putting a much more idealistic spin, is not the right word, characterization, right, on Din. Din becomes Haskel V'Yadoa Osi, the way of understanding, accomplishing the impossible, understanding the Ribbono Shel Olam, right, and that Tzedaka U'Mishpat isn't just the way that the Olam is Kayim, apparently, but also reflects Yediyas Hashem. And that, of course, is part of the telos, part of the purpose of the world. So this is a very fascinating idea. And, of course, it's an idea which has many important implications. After all, the reason that Din, right, plays such an important subsistence, role, the reason that it's, neutralizes anarchy is because precisely of its pragmatic element and component. Right, every culture has to have a system of law, civil law, and it has to have a Besdin system to implement it and to monitor it. Indeed, we'll be discussing this. Dinim is one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. We'll discuss the Rambam and Ramban very briefly, but when we get to it in the Makaros. But either way, the fact that Dinan is one of the Shevets B'nei Noach is a remarkable testament, right, to its necessity, its indispensability in any society. So it's the pragmatic focus, let's say, is very understandable given the reality that human beings are quarrelsome, that human beings are ego-driven, that everybody is trying to, compete and to accumulate more, that the Yetzer Hara, is particularly fierce when it comes to that kind of competition and accumulation. So the need for, din, mishpat, in society, justifying certainly dinim, is quite understandable. But given that, the idea that Haskel V'Yadoa Osi, that Yediyas Hashem takes place specifically when it comes to Din, seems to be remarkable and disturbing, because the Rabbanu Shalom isn't a pragmatic, you know, entity. We have so much trouble, the theological issue of the ability to apprehend is because of his pure idealism and the fact that he's beyond our grasp. Nothing about din is beyond our grasp. Din is the most understandable area of the halacha. However, I've made this point in the past, it's also very remarkable that maybe of all Torah Shebichtav, you know, Parshas Mishpatim, which deals with nitty-gritty, you know, civil law matters, is most indecipherable without a Masorah. Moreover, what I think one, you know, really needs to understand to explain all these things is two issues, and they're related. Number one, notwithstanding the pragmatic nature of Kosher Mishpat and the parallel need for, you know, a civil law in any culture, for any society, for non-Jewish society as well, nonetheless, you know, ki palim imcha davar ben dam ledin, you know, ben dam ledam ben din ledin ben nega lenaga, right? Divrei ribos bisharecha vekamta vialisa elamakom, meaning, whatever the differences are between the different mikzos haTorah, and it's important to understand those differences, in the end of the day, they're all chefs of shel Torah. There's an equal kiyum. No one ever said that, you know, learning Taros because it's about the, you know, inner logic of halacha, and a more, let's say, idealistic dimension of it. No one would ever say that, you know, there's a higher level of kiyum Talmud Torah. No one ever would tell you not to study Dinei Nezikin on Shabbos, because it's over the Tachon. Whether it's the methodology of, you know, drashos and svara, or the intrinsic, you know, the axiological value of the tochen, Kosher Mishpat is every bit as Chefetz Shel Torah, as Dvar Hashem, as Taharos and Zroim, and Kodshim, and of course Nashim, etc. So on the one hand, this idea of Rabbeinu Yonah and these other evidence really highlights that aspect of it, the idealism of Chosha Mishpat. On this basis, we should also assume that what's, you know, special about Chosha Mishpat is that, you know, while it is a pragmatic system, it's also an idealistic system, and therefore what specifically differentiates the tochen, let's say, or in some cases the methodology, or maybe the combination of having an Orach Chaim and a Chosher Mishpat and a Evan HaEzer and a Taros and a Kodshim, and what that contributes to the whole is that it, you know, projects that sense of idealism. In other words, non-Jewish civil law systems, as noble as they are intended to be, right, don't necessarily have either that ambition, nor do they have that scope. They don't have that integration, and hence, even where the overlap is identical in terms of the tochen, where the tochen is different, certainly that should be our focus. That's where, what is the idealistic value, which in some cases may even come a little bit at the expense of the efficiency that the Torah is projecting. But even where you have afa bisha dineim kedineinu, is a prohibition against arkos, lefneim v'lo lefnei akum, but not because non-Jewish law is inherently problematic, but afilu kishidineim kedineinu. The point is that by stripping Chosher Mishpat from the rest of Torah, it's a different Chosher Mishpat, and by integrating it within, that becomes haskel v'yadoa osi. So where there's a difference, certainly, even where there appears to be identity, there isn't always identity, because the context and the bigger scope sometimes changes the meaning and significance of individual laws. Even when, with all of that, the laws are the same, the fact that it's part of a bigger commitment itself means that it's different and idealistic. But at the same time, I would argue that precisely because it's the fusion of idealism and pragmatism, it's the implementation of divine law in imperfect human, contentious human society, quarrelsome human society, that is itself the greatness and the ultimate ambition and aspiration of divine law of Din Torah. So it's not just despite that focus, it's also because of that focus. And therefore, Haskel V'Adoa Osi, notwithstanding and some respects because of the pragmatic Kayam element, becomes part of the Omed for Rabbeinu Yonah as well. So on the one hand, we should recognize that in all of Choshen Mishpat, there are, as I say, unique facets, and in some respects, even sometimes you paskin like Rav, you paskin like Shmuel, there's a recognition that there are different, you know, greater experts in one Mikzoa Torah than others. But even in terms of the flexibility, because Choshen Mishpat is more pragmatic, you know, it's also going necessarily to be more flexible. The concept of Pshara, the concept of Masna, Masha Kosa B'Torah, Bitnai, Davar Shebemamon, you know, the role of Svara is going to be greater. The impact of certain real sociological trends, whether they have their roots in ontological behavior or not, Min Chazakos and Roves, etc. All of this is going to be more pronounced in Choshen Mishpat. You're going to get a different perspective on Safek, right? Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya. In Choshen Mishpat, there's always going to be a recognition that, you know, you're dealing with two Balei Dinim, and therefore a Psak in Choshen Mishpat is different than a Horo'ah in Iser V'Heter, in the sense that, you know, the Kula for one man is a Chomer for another, meaning there are clearly important differences that stand out and that characterize Choshen Mishpat in a very unique way relative to other Mikzos HaTorah. At the same time, if indeed it's also idealistic, both despite and because of the pragmatic element, so that we shouldn't be surprised that even some of these added flexibilities are somewhat toned down. So, for example, Masa Masha Kasa B'Torah B'Tai Davar Shiva Mamon, as we'll get a chance hopefully to see later in the year, maybe even earlier, isn't always just an abandonment of the halacha, you know, with the agreement of both parties. According to many Rishonim, it's the ability, flexibly a little bit, to rewrite the halacha in Choshen Mishpat, but it's within the system. Pshara, as we'll discuss when we get to the Vav and Dav Zayin, certainly according to the Riyaz, and this is the whole topic, is not just a compromise, you know, for the sake of Shalom, where you abandon again or suspend Dinei Choshen Mishpat, but rather it is maybe a more flexible a way of implementing the values, right, without being bound by some of the low plugs, you know, that normally are needed, you know, to be objectified within the system. Okay, we talked about this. We talked about the last topic of the year, and then we talked about it extensively in June. Those who were here, Shavi Nafshe Chaticha Diyisura Hodas Baldin Kemeidim Dami, right? This idea that you can have a din, not just an abandonment of din, but one which is allowed to play out in a more flexible way, given the fact that, you know, only two people are, or one person in some cases, are affected by it. Again, Dina de Malchusa Dina is something which is much more prominent, obviously it's mostly prominent in Choshen Mishpat and not in Iser V'Heter, but it has its limits because while Choshen Mishpat has this pragmatic motif, it also has this transcendent and idealistic motif as well. So this dialectic, the way we look at Shama Pruta in Choshen Mishpat, you know, one of the Mishnah says in Bav Metzia that Chamesha Pruta Oseim, and one of them is you know, what's Yotzei B'dayanim, Shavapruta. The idea of Shavapruta in general in Choshev Mishpat, to what extent it's about Mechila and Rachamim, or Mechila and Rachamim that gets translated into an objective definition. All of these are good examples of what I'm trying to project, which is an acknowledgement, even an embrace of the pragmatic side, but one which becomes an important facet in the idealism or in the idealizing of Choshen Vishpa. So basically, given that that is the case, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdo, we'll discuss it more when we get to it, but you know, the two psukim, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdo, and V'tzedek Tishpot, you know, Amisecha. So Rashi says, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdo, Echad L'din V'Echad L'Pshar. Rashi understands the Gemara. Rama says tzedek tzedek tirbo tzedek tzedek tirdo. Sorry, both refers, that whole pasuk refers to pshara. But tzedek tishpot amisecha refers to din. Almost like the Rama is saying, again, Rashi is saying there are two types of tzedek, right? One is pshara and one is din. And the Rama is saying you need a double dose of tzedek in order to implement pshara. Because you don't want to abandon the values, the transcendent and idealistic values that are embedded, you know, in the law, even as you want to follow or pursue a path of shalom. So this is basically, I think, the idea of Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's just conclude this part of it by saying that you know, beirastichli, you know, betzedek ubemishpat viadata es Hashem. So what does it mean, a rastich betzedek of a mishpat? So here we have the opportunity, you know, to combine, you know, last year's limud with this year's transition, and that is that, in a way, you know, tzedek of mishpat are the erusin, let's say, you know, of halacha. And as we discussed, the goal may be the chuppah, but the chiddush haTorah is the erusin, because by, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's, you know, and providing a legal framework, you know, which seems to, you know, formalize, you know, and you know, de-emotionalize, you know, the marriage, seemingly, you know, at first glance, what really happens is you build a sense of security and integrity, you know, which allows the ultimate goal, the chuppah, you know, to flourish, you know, to thrive, you know, under those conditions. So it's ve'erastichli betzedek ubenishpat, and it's viadat es Hashem. It's the same thing is true with Chosh and Mishpat, with tzedek and mishpat. Tzedek and mishpat may look to an outsider like it's purely pragmatic. It's all about staving off, you know, chaos. But at the end of the day, when the goal is for the omeid, and the omeid elements are also part of the process and part of the tochen, so then obviously that contributes to haskel viadoa osi viadat as Hashem. Both aspects of the process that Rabbeinu Yonah speaks about, and indeed that's really very much relevant to the tshuva period as well. Rosh Hashanah is a yom adin. Again, Chazal speak a lot about, you know, the relationship between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Din and Rachamim and so on, but the idea of the Rabbeinu Shalom being, you know, Yoshev al Kisei Adin, you know, in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you know, that's even the reason that we don't say Hallel. But at the same time, you know, we understand that it's, you know, preceded by Elul, and the ultimate form of tshuva is the tshuva me'ahava. So there's no stira between, you know, din and avas Hashem. Both of these are expression in a different way of this sense of idealism. Okay, so with that in mind, let's begin the actual topic, and that is the first topic I want to discuss is the mitzvah of minui dayanim, okay, the obligation to appoint judges or courts. Based on the psukim, of course, in the beginning, I should have brought the chumash, which I didn't, but hopefully somebody will have access to. Thank you. Anticipate my every need. The parsha that we just read, right? Parshas Shoftim. So Shoftim, Shoftim, Titan Lecha B'chol Sharecha, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha. One second. Recorded inside. Parsha Pesav. Shoftim, Shoftim, Titan Lecha B'chol Sharecha, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha Lishvatecha, which is of course a very challenging usage in Hebrew, right? All Chazal understood that, you know, this is not the normal way that you would write. Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha Lishvatecha, Shoftim Shoftim Titan Lecha Lishvatecha, right? B'chol Sharecha Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha, but the Torah breaks it up differently, right? V'shoftu Esa'am Mishpat Tzedek. Okay. So the question is, the first question is twofold. So when you read these psukim, there are two things that jump out at you. Number one, the relationship between Shoftim and Shoftrim, which we'll talk about. And number two, is this a tzivui, is this an imperative, or not? Right, there are two ways to read the psukim. One is, it's kind of an Eitz HaTova, and or you know, a description of what is likely to happen, because Lamaisa, at some point, you're going to have judges, and it's almost like either an Eitz HaTova, Shoftim, Shoftim, Titan Lecha, or kind of a description of the fact, and it's more of an introduction to V'shoftu Sa'am Mishpat Tzedek, right? Lo Sat Mishpat, Lo Sakir Panim, Lo Tikach Shochad, right? Etc. Ki HaShochad Yaver Enei Chachamim, Yisalef Divrei Tzadikim, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, meaning it's all more of an introductory pasuk to introduce the quality of the Dayanim, the integrity of the process, you know, to, you know, exclude, or, you know, somebody might think, you know, I can preserve my integrity and I can still accept, you know, a presence, you know, from the Balei Dinim. So basically, it's not, the focus isn't the Shoftim V'Shotrim, it's on the rest of it, because it's either an Eitz HaTova or a Hakdama. Indeed, it should be noted that in the Moni HaMitzvos, the Smak and the Uraim omitted Shoftim V'Shotrim from their Minyan Taryag. The Shiltos, which I don't know if I gave to you or not, maybe I didn't put it on there, it should be looked at. The Shiltos interprets Shoftim V'Shotrim Titan Lecha B'chol Sharecha. He does count, he says it's a mitzvah, but it's mitzvah lemimni, if anybody can find language, Dayanim, right, who have the integrity of Los Hakir Panim Amishpat. Basically, there are two, it's fascinating in its own right, there are two different mitzvos about integrity in din. One refers to the Shoftim themselves when they're sitting and being done a din Torah, right? So when, when they're involved in a din Torah, so, you know, they are obligated to do so with utmost integrity. And then there's a second mitzvah, or a first mitzvah, and that is that the people who appoint judges, right, should have in mind that only people of, you know, utmost integrity should be appointed. Point to the, anybody have a language? Probably in the, if you have the Kamai, maybe it's there. Tazayin, maybe. No? Okay, whatever. I'll try to bring it in on Thursday. So, but so interestingly, the Shiltos does think that the mitzvah of Shoftim V'Shotrim Titan Lecha B'chol Sharecha, but he doesn't think that the mitzvah is minu dayanim. The mitzvah is the quality of dayanim that you are looking for, or that you're memana, and it's a mitzvah on the monim in that sense. The Smak and the Uraim don't have any mitzvah. The Ramban, in his Perush al Torah, at least initially, he goes back on this later, we'll discuss this. Right, I see it's underlined here. Is this yours? Oh, okay, very good. The Lefiza Ein Yisrael Shebechutz La'aretz Mitzuvim Limdos Lehem Dayanim Bayaros. That's how he understood the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't really seem to say that. But the way the Ramban introduces the whole thing, Tziva Batorah Ad Elohim Yavod Dvar Shneihem Ad Elohim, that's one of the three Elohims, V'nasan Baflilim Inkei Mitzvah Sheyiyu LiYisrael Plilim. Right? Now, Plilim are not courts. Plilim means, you know, the capacity to implement justice. Ubir bekan sheasimu hashoftim b'chol areim kasha yitein lahem Hashem es haaretz yibechutz laaretz einam chayavim limnos lahem bezdin aval kasha yitzak hamu'uvas yamdu alav haru'uyim lishpot u'bimishpateyem yishpetuhu o yalal aretz bizmana v'sham yishpetuhu b'mokam ha'mishpat. So basically, the fizeh in the social bechutz arts mitzuvim limnoslem dayanim bayaros. The way that he reads the Rambam, which we'll discuss, is that there are two completely different dinim. Right? There's a mitzvah of minui dayanim in Eretz Yisrael to appoint a standing or sitting court, right? And in chutz laaretz, there's no such a mitzvah. Rather, there's still a mitzvah to, you know, as to ensure, to assure access to justice, namely, there has to be the mechanism that allows people to resolve their disputes. You know, people are contentious. There will be, you know, competition and quarrels, and therefore you have to have that mechanism. But it's fine if that's done in chutz laaretz, according to the Ramban's reading of the Rambam, on an ad hoc basis. In other words, when you need it, you'll put it together, but there's no requirement that in advance that we anticipate, or that there be a, you know, a presence of Bezdin in a community. That's only in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ramban's idea. So this notion that in Chutz Laaretz, you know, it's sufficient that you, you know, put things together, in theory, that's something that didn't have to be limited to Chutz Laaretz. And actually a reference is made in the Ramban to, you know, or even if there aren't dayanim in the community, you know, who in an ad hoc way could be put together if you need them. So, you know, when you go to Eretz Yisrael. Well, what do you mean when you go to Eretz Yisrael? When do you go to Eretz Yisrael? When do you go to Eretz Yisrael? Aliyah L'Regel. So, of course, that's also certainly a reference to the Ibn Ezra, right, who explains that, again, the Ibn Ezra Kedarko is always very interested, even when Chazal, you know, don't mention it, but the connection between, you know, different parshios. So he says, "Avapi shekol mitzvah mitzvah medes bifnei atzma, yesh kidmus drash lihidabek, right? Haparshios. The tam shoftim avapi shatochay v'lachas gimel pa'amim lemakom hakohanim misharsei hamikdash, v'sham tishal me'achukim v'mishpatim, lo yaspik lecha ad shiyu lecha shoftim." Right, so the Ibn Ezra is basically saying that the Smichas Parshios is that, you know, don't think just because you're going to Eretz Yisrael three times a year at least that, you know, that'll take care of all your judicial needs, right? But so that's a fascinating Havamina. That's obviously what the Ramban was referring to in terms of Minui Dayanim B'chutz Laaretz. He's basically saying, yeah, that'll work for people who live, you know, in Chutz Laaretz. But what's interesting is that for the Ibn Ezra is basically saying that therefore, Kamash Malan, Shoftim Shotrim, Titan Lechon, no, you do have a Chiyuv Minui Dayanim, you know, locally. But it doesn't seem like the reason for that in the Ibn Ezra is because of a different perspective on what this obligation is all about. He's just saying, in Ochanami, it's about access and efficiency, or precluding, let's say, arkos, right? And therefore, you would have thought that Gimel Regalim will be enough. Kamash Malan, that it's not enough. We don't want to risk it. We don't want to risk the Abel and the Ibus, or the Inui Hadin. We don't want to risk the arkos. Therefore, there's a mitzvah of Minui Dayanim. But it's a purely pragmatic mitzvah. So basically, what I'm suggesting is, for the Smak and the Urayim, there is no mitzvah. For the She'iltos, there is a mitzvah of shoftim v'shotrim, but it's the mitzvah of the type of dayanim that you appoint, not the mitzvah to appoint dayanim. For the Ramban, it's reading of the Rambam, right? In chutz laaretz, there is only the efficiency access issue, but there really is no mitzvah. For the Ibn Ezra, there is a mitzvah, but it seems like the mitzvah is just a way of securing the pragmatic access and efficiency idea. Rabbeinu Bechai, on the other hand, Do we have him here? No, it's on this. They didn't publish it in here, right? Anybody have the language? Also works with the beginning of the Ibn Ezra, but seems in the Maskana to suggest that, you know, that there's a mitzvah, mina dayanim, you know, which even though would be, you know, sufficient on the efficiency and access level to do gimel regalim or ad hoc, but it's, what's wrong about it is that there's also a mitzvah, mina dayanim. Anybody have the language?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Who has it? Oh, okay. You want to read it? Yeah.
Beginning?
Just the relevant parts. I'll leave it to your good judgment. Got it? It's electronically on the way. You have it there? Shmuel? Who has it? So it sounds like the it's not that it's not efficient enough, but that there's a mitzvah separate from that. And we'll see how that works in with Rabbeinu Bechai's other big chiddush. What's his other big chiddush? Anybody know already? Yeah?
The Dayanim take the place of like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's...
Say again?
The Dayanim take the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role as a Dayan in this world.
Okay, well that's consistent with what we were talking about before, but I mean a very concrete halachic chiddush. Yeah?
There's no
Bezdin. And what about Bezdin Shel Gimel?
It's
a takana that it's only din in Sanhedrin, not a din in Bezin Shel Gimel. Because again, if it really were a pragmatic access issue, most dine mamonis issues, right, require a Bezin Shel Gimel, not a Sanhedrin of Chaf Gimel. So it's a huge chiddush of Reinu Benu that he holds that Bezin Shel Gimel is not included in the mitzvah of Shofet of Shoch. But we'll get to it. Yeah.
Why
is
Ibn Ezra not saying the same thing?
I'm just going by instinct. It sounds to me like Ibn Ezra was saying, you might think that would be enough, Kamashma, and it's not enough. And it sounds like Rabbi Acha is saying that while that might be enough, you still have a mitzvah. And I am admittedly putting it together with the second Chiddush, which we'll elaborate on. Okay, but Rov Rishonim do not hold like the Smak and the Reim, or the Shiltis, or... you know, the Ramban about Chutz La'aretz, and they really hold that there is a mitzvah of Minui Dayanim. Who holds that way? The Rambam, the Smag, the Chinuch, Zemrit Zerub Sadjigon, Behag. Most of Rishonim count a mitzvah of Minui Dayanim. And the question is, what is the nature of this mitzvah? So, we're going to have to stop in a couple of minutes, check with Noah. Are you going to do something about the clock, or are you just going to...
No, I'm retired.
You're retired. Yeah, that's a good answer. Okay. But you retired, and you never appointed anybody to take up your task. So basically, I think that there are three or four, you know, important motifs that we can identify in terms of the nature of this mitzvah, and then we could pursue some of the nafkamina that may come along with it. Right. The first is, again, along the lines of what I'm suggesting for the Ibn Ezra, and that is that this is a purely pragmatic mitzvah. In other words, it's all about access and efficiency. It's all about discouraging alternative systems, like our calls. The only thing is, the Gimel Regalim and the ad hoc, putting together of Dayanim is not good enough, you know, to neutralize, you know, those fears or those concerns. The Or Chaim, for example, in this Perush, right in the beginning of Shoftim, at least, you know, he has always multiple Perushim, but has that possibility. he basically says that the purpose is to have access. The Tosarosh, I don't know if you got to this already, on in Sanhedrin, and Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. What's in Sanhedrin Nun Vav Amud Aleph? Discussion of what? Anybody get there already or not? Or you got finished all the course already? Finished all the course already? No. What's Nun Vav Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin? What's that about? The obligation of, the scope of the obligation of dinim, of mitzvahs minu dayanim, for Benoach. Right, Nun Vav, you have to know it anyway. Like, it wasn't really it was a half serious question. But it was a fair question, even if you hadn't seen the Gemara Nun Vav Amud Aleph, because you just have to know what Nun Vav Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin is. Right, that's the Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach, you know, Gemara. Anyways, so basically the Gemara there, we'll talk about the Girsos and the scope of it, but the Gemara there speaks about there being seems to speak about the obligation of Minui Dayanim, also for B'nei Noach. Dinim doesn't necessarily mean Minui Dayanim, right? And then the question is, you know, also the scope of it. Is it B'kol Pelach or Pelach Kol Ir V'Ir? Or is it only B'kol Pelach? How does that compare with Chutz La'aretz? How does that compare with Eretz Yisrael for Jews? Right, this is part of our topic, right, to try to figure out, are there different levels of mitzvah Minui Dayanim? Anyways, Agav, what I'm trying to add is that the Tosas HaRush Nun Vav Amud Aleph suggests that a Ben Noach only, Bnei Noach have only the obligation to be Mamane Dayanim B'kol Pelech and not B'kol Ir. Let's say, you know, in every region or state, but not in every city. Not in every municipality or you know, smaller location. So he says, because, you know, the Mechayiv is efficiency and access. Okay? So that's a great, like that Or Chaim, there is a mitzvah, but he's saying this about mitzvah of B'nai Noach, a bit in contrast to mitzvah Yisrael. Just like I was quoting the Ramban before, who says that in Chutz La'aretz, in his reading of the Rambam, his initial reading of the Rambam, in Chutz La'aretz it's pragmatic. In Eretz Yisrael, it's something more than that. Yeah?
It's just something, how are we understanding the happening of the Ben Ezra? If it's purely pragmatic, then the happening is how pragmatic it could have been without it?
Say again?
That you could have gotten away with fewer, and the Kiddush Torah said that you don't have enough, and that this is what's
Yeah, in other words, you could get, you know, it's three times a year enough to take care of all your quarrels.
So the Torah is guaranteeing quarrels.
What do you mean guaranteeing quarrels? The Torah is saying, well, you could see it, look at it, you could say, well, the Torah is being pragmatic and saying, you know, what about in between Gimel Regalin? Or you might say the Torah doesn't, you know, there's a kind of a shmira here. In other words, you know, we don't want people, you know, to be upset with each other, you know, even for 1 minute more than they have. We don't want to delay Shalom for the Gimel Regalin. Okay. I'm not sure, he doesn't say, but yeah, I think the point is we might have thought, given this, that, you know, the Smichos Parshios is to teach you, don't think that getting general access or general efficiency is good enough. Kamash Malan, you need more. Not because it isn't efficiency and access, but because we, you know, we want to stamp out even interim discord. We're machmer in interim discord. That's how I would prefer to look at it. Okay? That's still a pragmatic idea, as opposed to what I'm trying to get to, which is the idea that that appointing dayanim in a certain place is not just about access and efficiency. It's also about, well, I'll just say it. Either on the negative level, but still a next step, it's about a kind of deterrent. It isn't just about you know, now what you might say is handling disputes, you know, when they arise, you know, and looking for guidance when you need it. That could really be accomplished by Gimel Regalim or by ad hoc. Yeah, you know, the carpenter and the painter and the, you know, the lawyer even, you know, next door, you know, they have smicha l'dayana. So, you know, when we need them, we'll call them together. They don't have to be, they don't have to hang up a shingle. We don't have to have a building, you know, and we don't have to, you know, call them Mr. Dayan. You know, we'll put them together when we need them. You know, So if we're interested in dispensing, you know, justice, even, you know, not delaying, or like I said before, even if we want to be machmir on an interim or temporary discord, so that we can do. But when you have, you know, dayanim in the town and a bezdin that's sitting and ready to go, you know, so in addition, that also is a deterrent. You know, that is a way of projecting the rule of law, right, in the community. So I think that's the second perspective. That's totally different than efficiency, and that has nothing to do. You're not going to get you're not going to get anything out of, you know, gimel regalim or ad hoc dayanim, you know, for that. But there's a certain, you know, fear of the law or I prefer to think of it as inspiration of the law. So I think that there are different ways to say this. One is in a more negative way, which is the way some Rishonim say it. Again, our time is almost up for today, so next time we'll be reading inside the language of the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos and the language of the Sefer Chinuch as well, who very much speak about Shoftim Shoftim Tifchim L'Chol B'Chol Shorecha as part of a much bigger, you know, project, namely projecting, you know, the binding character of halacha on the community. You know, this also impacts shotrim. You know, what are shotrim? I will discuss this. Shotrim are the narrow implementers of the psak din of the dayanim. Or shotrim are like, you know, truancy officers or police officers, you know, in the community. They don't work for the shoftim. They're parallel to the shoftim. Right? Is it the same mitzvah or not? Is it the same drasha? Right? Is it included in the mitzvah? Shotrim? Right, so we'll talk about that also. But the point is that while Rambam and Sefer Mitzvah and Chinuch partially emphasize this in a more negative way, it's still way beyond access and efficiency or even precluding arkos. It's about projecting, you know, that, you know, this is an imposed system for your own good. That's what makes Klal Yisrael, you know, have Kedushas Yisrael. It's part of the Omeid, the reason that the world was created. But at the end of the day, it's important that our teeth, that it's enforced, that people know that there be a certain fear of mishpat, and knowing, you know, that there, you know, every day when you pass the courtroom or, you know, you have to stand up for those dayanim, you know, it reinforces this theme. So I think that's the negative part of it, which we'll talk about. But I think, I prefer to think, that certainly the chinuch and the shirashim part of it is that you could say this in a much more inspirational way, too. And that is, getting back to it, that, you know, if the dayan samuch is Elohim, and if Elohim is spelled the same way as Elohim, so what we're really saying is that having, you know, these men of stature, you know, both in terms of their learning, you know, they have to be laid as kol Torah, roi l'choros b'chol Torah kula, according to the Rambam's psak, right? That's very significant. Walking Sifrei Torah, you know, in the community, and people of, you know, impeccable, hopefully, humans, you know, flawed humans, but who have impeccable, you know, integrity, you know, for the shiltas and other reasons. So having such people in your midst is a way of projecting Kedushas Yisrael. Okay, not just to put the fear of the Rabbanu Shel Olam and Mishpat in you. Like, don't step out of line. We've got Shotrim, we've got Shoftim. It's not the Revolutionary Guards, you know. It's you know, the wow, this is an ir malay, you know, chachamim, the sofrim, the shoftim, you know, and their presence, who they are, you know, having a great man in your midst, an ir sheyeshbo tamid chachamim, is, you know, that's part of Yerushalayim's charm. It's part of what Gimel Regalim is about, actually. It's another way to interpret the Smichos Parshios, frankly, meaning you'll go there, you'll get, but no, you know, Yiras Shamayim, an exposure to Talmidei Chachamim, and the inspiration that's supposed to come of that, according to Chazal, Medrash Halacha, Medrash Agada, right? Ramban quotes it in Sefer Mitzvos, Bali Tosis quoted in Shas, you know, that's part of the Mitzvah Bali El Regel. It's part of the stat chart and status of Yerushalayim. So what we're saying is, you know what? That's all great, and you know, we're all Zionistically convinced of the role that plays, but we don't want to have a narrow view of that either. So, you know, if you live in New York City or Cleveland or wherever you live, you know, we want there to be that kind of presence. We also want to have, you know, Elohim, Elohim there too. So I think that is the positive side, you know, of that perspective. You can call that, 2A and B if you want, or 2 and 3. I don't really care about the numbers. I think there's another perspective too, and then I just want to make one other comment, and that is the possibility that Minu Dayanim isn't about appointing, you know, individual courts in places. It's about creating a network of Batei Dinim, in which there is a hierarchy. Meaning, it's not just about the particular needs of a community. It's about the entire system, you know, which historically has Moshe Rabbeinu at its apex, and in terms of the, you know, legal configuration, has, you know, Bezen HaGadol, you know, who are ideally sitting in the Lishchas HaGazis, you know, as the apex, you know, but that whole, like, you can make a chart, you know. So it's not that a chart per se is an intrinsically valuable thing, but the reason for the chart, assuming it isn't also just pragmatic, but it's a way of highlighting that there are different motifs in Mishpat and different expertises, and that it's important to know that Lo hare, you know, exactly, the Bezen shel Gimel, kahare, the Bezen shel Kof Gimel, you know, kahare, you know, the Bezen HaGadol. It's important to know the differences, and it's not just purely quantitative. So, Shoftim v'shotim titan l'chob b'chol sharecha asher Hashem Elokecha noseit l'chob lishvatecha, which, at least according to Ramban, as we'll discuss, is the beginning of that idea, is a way of saying the network and what it stands for is very important. That's a totally different take. Not pragmatic excess efficiency, you know, preclusion of arkos. Not what is the presence of a bezdin in a community, what does it do negatively and positively, you know, in terms of creating an environment, an inspirational environment, or just, you know, keeping things honest in terms of fidelity to din. This is rather a totally different notion. Yeah?
Is there a theological significance to that tier system?
I think so. We'll discuss it. But I do think that there might be. Okay, so what we need to do is see the formulations and then, try to, kedarkenu, to try to see whether there are nafkamin halacha, who is obligated to make this appointment, which batei dinim are included. Does it matter whether, you know, there are smuchim bizman hazeh or not? What if there aren't shoftim to implement the law? Is there still an obligation of shoftim? Are the shoftim and the shoftim mishutaf to this mitzvah or not? Various issues that come up. And we'll start with the marmachobos that I gave. I may add a few things, but let's start with the with the ones where we are now that we've outlined what we're kind of looking for. So we'll continue on Mirza Shem on Thursday.
You guys will have a minute here in about 30 seconds.
And then they changed the whole
the whole
schedule.
2:30
now. 2:30, they cut out shear time.
What?
It's not even right. But there was actually a meeting yesterday, I wasn't able to be here, so I wasn't able to protest.
We're not a real Lithuanian.